following broadcast may result in feelings such as the want to be a Karen, undeniable offendedness, and the sudden urge to search for a safe place. If you experience any of those feelings during this broadcast, well, I really don't care, because here we discuss just about everything. From the nastiest of sex, to politics, to religion, down to that one-night stand that just won't leave you alone, all the way up to that relationship you've been in for 10 years and still can't figure it out. No topic is too messy. So, if you're that family member that gets invited to social gatherings and told to behave, this is the place for you. Sit back, relax, grab a drink, and welcome to Kate Unfiltered. What is up, America? It is your girl, Kate, and welcome to the first episode of Kate Unfiltered. I am so excited for you guys to be here and joining me on this complete dumpster fire shit show episode. That's the best way to put it, honestly. So I'm going to dive right into it, guys. We are going to talk about this past electoral season and what the fuck's been going on in this nation, because I am frankly fed up with it. I'm sure you guys are fed up with it. And we need to start analyzing as to why this is happening every 4 years. So if you're someone that's completely politicked out, you just don't want to talk about it, don't want to hear it, you might as well just close it now, because that is what we are getting into today. Some of you might have your minds blown. Some of you may want to throw your phones in about, 5 to 10 minutes. If you do that, my whole analysis of that is just don't be so fucking soft. So let's start about where this all began. A lot of people want to say, the electoral season started with the campaigning. Wrong. It started at COVID-19. If you don't know why, I'm about to explain it to you. So guys, when COVID-19 hit, when it hit the United States from China, I really hope you guys understand the amount of control and power that was given to the government. We are talking pure political puppetry on the American people. You have people now being told when they can exit their homes, telling when they can control when businesses are open, down to your financial standing. Now, granted, yes, they already have some power in regards to some of those things, but this is probably the most microscopic level they've had it in quite a while. We've never been so dependent on the media for updates. And both of those are correlated so much, especially when it comes to the electoral season, okay? So remember that. When I say that the electoral season started with COVID-19, that is projection for the future of how this electoral race went this year. Okay, so keep that in your mind. All right, you've got people panicked. You've got people stuck in their homes. And when we went on lockdown, what did we have to do? We were on our phones. We were on our iPads. We were on the laptops. We were probably the most technology, what is what I'm looking for, plugged in at that point. We were hyper-focused on all of the screens at once, looking for updates as to when it is that we can go outside, if what the death tolls are, all that kind of stuff. And the media played on that, okay? Because what happened next? George Floyd. And I'm going to ruffle some feathers with this, all right? We're not even going to get into the actual facts of George Floyd. That will be a different conversation for a different day. But I do want to say this very specifically, and I'm going to say it loud and proud. For all of my POCs listening to this podcast right now, you need to listen the fuck up and you need to listen good, all right? Because I'm really tired of your emotional strings being pulled on to set the tune of every single electoral season that we have. If you do not believe that that is happening, listen very carefully to what I'm saying, because that is in fact what is happening. Okay, so George Floyd, all right, we had a video release from some girl, I'm not going to mention her name, not going to give her the hype, of some, it was a clip that had little to no evidence of anything minus a black man on the ground, a white police officer with his knee on his neck. All right, guys, and as usual, the government looked at the black community and they said, hey, jump. And the black community said, how high? All right. So when you look at this, we instantaneously saw rage across the nation. We saw riots. We saw looting. We saw all sorts of larceny. It was complete and utter chaos, right? So remember that. We've been stuck inside because of COVID-19. We're looking at our screens. We're being fed all of this stuff now by media. Media is now saying police brutality, racism is still at a high in America here. All this different stuff that we're being forced to just kind of consume like sponges, because we don't know what else to do with ourselves when we're sitting locked at home, okay? People clearly didn't give a fuck about COVID-19 when they ran outside and rioted. And you guys ever think about how those riots were handled? You guys notice that oh, the nation's coming together and we're unifying for the rights of black people. And we automatically, completely and utterly forgot about a nationwide pandemic that we thought was going to kill all of us, like literally a matter of a couple months ago. It's cool. Not even a couple of weeks ago at that point. That was the first emotional string pulled, I personally feel like, from the Democratic Party. But I digress. You can make your own assumption of whatever. And then we had a few of those instances. They were all textbook. I also want to point out something very, very, very fascinating about all of the quote-unquote police brutality headlines that came to light. You guys realize that every single one of the victims in one of these situations were also criminals. I don't really care whether you're one of those people that's sitting there saying, oh, well, someone's criminal past doesn't mean that their life should be taken. No, you're absolutely right. It also means that they know more than anybody the situations that are going to put them in the position for a police officer to have to not only protect themselves, but likely might end in their life being taken. Okay? That's something that nobody really wants to talk about, is the fact that George Floyd was, in fact, a criminal. He did, in fact, have a 10-year record of drug possession and use, along with theft, okay? So when he decided to get high that morning, I'm assuming, based off of that 10-year record, he knew that he was putting himself in a position to potentially encounter the police officers and the cops and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing what happens, guys, when you don't do criminal activity. You don't usually end up in a situation of getting arrested or in any situation of a police officer being able to assert any type of authority on you. So I want to state that, not because I'm trying to be nasty by any means, but I do want to state that in the sense of, you guys realize they made a mockery of you this season. They made a mockery of the complete black community this entire electoral season, and y'all let them do it. Y'all let them do it proudly. It wasn't even a matter of trying to give you real evidence. They just said, oh, this happened, and y'all just believed it. And then you look at the months that followed, right? We got more evidence on George Floyd. We got more evidence on all of these cases. And the more that we found out, it was like, oh, wow, there was a criminal record here. Oh, there was a warrant for the arrest. Oh, they resisted arrest. Oh, they tried to tase a cop. Oh, she wasn't, in fact, an EMS. She actually got fired from that in 2017 when she was a suspect in a murder investigation. There was a body found in her trunk. Oh, wow. Oh, she wasn't asleep in bed. Wait, she was sitting in the hallway and her boyfriend shot at the cops and they returned fire after they had a no-knock warrant, which was changed to a knock warrant last minute. They did knock, and when he discovered there was police, he fired. Kenneth Walker, in case you're wondering who I'm talking about in the Breonna Taylor case, shot at cops and they returned fire. He admitted to putting Breonna Taylor in front of him to deflect the fire, which I don't know why he thought that was going to work, which ultimately killed her. But media told you what? They told you that she was asleep in bed and was completely innocent and had absolutely no part in this, but yet she had over, what, 3-4 years of history of either dating drug dealers, taking over those drug dealers' trade when they were in jail. Her house had been monitored for months for drug distribution. And guys, nobody's mad about the outside victims here. No one's mad about the people that may have been dying from the drugs she was putting into the community. No one was concerned, okay? When the man that was drunk driving and shot the taser, no one was concerned about, oh, the lives that were at risk when he was drunk driving, when he should have been home with his daughter because he was out because of COVID-19. He was in for 10 years, a 10-year sentence of child abuse. But instead of being with his daughter on her birthday, he decided to go get drunk and drive and put other law-abiding citizens' lives at risk. But no one was mad about that. No one was asking those questions. And this is when the stir of the pot began for the American people in this electoral season. Everyone wants to say they're unrelated, but they're not. Okay, look at that. Look at the division that happened in the country during all of that. And then guess who else came along? Oh, BLM, how you doing? Okay, you're just going to pop your head up every 4 years per usual, doing absolutely nothing for the black community, but there's no shocker there, truly. It's funny because it's ran by George Soros, which is a white racist, but it's fine because I guess that if you're white and you're giving money to a cause that you are literally the puppeteer of, no one asks questions, all right? So we saw BLM take a very interesting approach this year. I don't think I have seen more blatant signs of want for black supremacy in my life. And guys, I'm going to say this now to all of my white followers. Honestly, I view you all as Americans, but for the sake of this conversation, because race is what we seem to be so hyper-focused on in this country right now, to all of my white followers, stop fucking feeling guilty. Stop it. I don't want your sympathy. I don't want you to hold my hand. No. You want to do me a favor? You want to do the black community a favor? Let us do our thing. All right, let us learn and start teaching our kids that we are strong individuals. Okay, let us show that work ethic decides our future and not our skin tone. I do not need one more white Stacy telling me, oh, honey, but your brothers and sisters, okay, my brothers and sisters are black and Mexican. Okay, honey, I'm adopted. I got a whole lot of color in my family. So, yes, when you tell me my people are the American people and no American person in this country has ever stopped me from achieving my dreams as a black woman. So, that being said, I want to make that known. Any white guilt up in this live, up in this broadcast right now, I don't want it. Get rid of it. Stop feeling it. It's not needed. And I know that it's hard when it's you live in a nation where it's basically telling you all the time that you guys have to apologize for something. We got to put an end to that shit. And on all fronts, not just to white people, but to everyone. Stop trying to make people feel like they need to apologize for shit that they had absolutely no part in that happened 400 years ago, that they had no say in, that they didn't want, but their ancestors wanted. I could say the same thing for black people. When we sold our own kind into slavery, I'm not held responsible for what those slave owners and slave sellers were doing. That's not on me. My ancestral land technically still has child slavery right now, and I'm not responsible for their behavior either. So let's just get that out there, all right? So BLM, guys, let's get back to that whole thing, right? They're roaring their heads, and I don't think I've ever seen a more blatant sign of black supremacy in my life. It's ironic, though, okay? You want to talk about systemic racism? Well, we've got all sorts of things with systemic racism, guys. We've got everything from abortion clinics being specifically placed in poverty areas, and all sorts of things like that when we can't afford those types of things in poverty areas. The average abortion costs $500. And that whole ideology ties into what I'm about to get into. BLM is not for the traditional home. It's not for fathers being in the home, which ironically is the exact same agenda that the Democratic Party has, okay? The black community specifically has the highest percentage of abortions in this country, okay? So why is it that those correlate? When you look at the way that the Democratic Party has set up the systems of being able to, and I don't care if you're pro-life, pro-choice, I have a very gray area on that topic, but when you look at that, right, these are low-income places. These are people struggling to feed their kids. These are people in terrible, terrible living conditions. But by the way, we're gonna give you more money with welfare if you don't have someone else helping you in the home. If you don't have a father in the home, we're gonna help you out. We're going to give you more finances, right? Okay, cool. But that only works for so long before you're unable to provide for the kids that you're having. So instead of doing that, you have this heartwarming, warm, fuzzy, hey, come to this abortion clinic and we will put you on a payment plan. We will find you financial aid. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, even though we know that this is a super expensive procedure and this is a poverty area, we know that you're going to need it more probably than anyone else, because we've already trained you to not have that help in the home. So now you feel overwhelmed and you feel your only option is to get an abortion. Okay, well, guess what? As the black community, right, we make up 15% of the population. That's what's keeping us a minority, is that we have the highest percentage of abortion rates. Okay, so ironically, look at BLM that doesn't want to have fathers in the home. Look at the thing keeping us a minority. You've got an organization that is preaching for the strength of black people, for the strength of the black community. Yet they advocate for the same ideology that the Democratic Party had when they push for broken homes. Does that not cause anyone to be a little bit suspicious? And then on top of that, who runs BLM is George Soros, who has been openly racist over the years, yet black people still seem to blindly follow him. Okay, so there's so much here that are red flags to show us, guys, we are being lied to, we are being guided, and no one is talking about it. Okay, so when BLM had it happened and we started having this complete, again, remember, we're stuck at home, we're looking at our phones, social media influx of utter bullshit. All right, we've got the black square happening. We've got the black power fist pictures showing up everywhere. and all this different stuff. No lives can matter until Black Lives Matter. Let's also talk about that for a minute. You're now not only stating that when, and don't give me that, okay, Black Lives Matter, the lives that matter right now. So I'm sorry, Susan, are you basically telling me that that little white girl over there that just got shot down in the street, her life doesn't matter right now because Black Lives Matter? Do you guys realize how fucked up that is? Like, the fact that people were even trying to say that, that right there, the second that whole phrase started being said, we created the biggest line of division that I think that has been boldly, openly, publicly been said in a while, and being said on a level of masses that is highly concerning. Okay? So again, let's recap what we've talked about thus far. All right, you've got the COVID placement, the special placement of people due to COVID. You're at home, you're looking at your phones, you're completely a succubus to nothing but media. Okay, that's what you're absorbing. You're a sponge. You're seeing all of that stuff, right? We're completely absorbing everything that they're feeding us. Okay, then they're playing on your emotional buttons. They pull out the racial card. They take that racial card and they pour some more fuel on it, right? Okay, so then now we've got people rioting in the streets. We've got organized protests. We've got organized riots. We've got organized ideas and gatherings of destruction. But remember that pandemic that was happening? Why is no one freaking out? Why are there no mask mandates there? All right, so now we've also, not only that, but those riots are no longer controlled, because right now we have this complete hate towards our men and women in blue. Okay, police brutality is the topic, the hot topic of the nation right now. All right, you've got people saying ACAB, all cops are bad, which is complete and utter bullshit. All right, I honest to God wish that we had a manifest of everyone that's ever said that. ACAB, all cops are bad. Fine. All right, so the next time that you have someone break into your house, I hope you don't call the cops. The next time that you get assaulted in an alley, I hope to God that you don't call the cops. I hope that no one is ever in those positions, but straight up, I wish we had something where we could just go to the phone directory, and when you see that number come in, that the boys and women in blue were able to say, sorry, bro, you revoked that want when you said that all cops are bad. It boils my blood. So no one respects cops. We've got men and women dying that are trying to protect the American people. None of them, there are many of them that weren't involved with George Floyd. You know, they didn't agree with what happened. All right, guys, good cops hate bad cops as much as we hate bad cops. I don't understand why that is such a hard concept to understand. Okay, but the fact that so many good cops lost their lives to these riots, guys, when they're just as much American as any of us, okay? They love their country. They're trying to protect the people of their communities. Many cops, even in the lower poverty areas, you know, guys, like they came from those neighborhoods too. They wanted to be a part of that change. So when you completely disrespect them in that light, it's just heartbreaking. All right. So we've got this complete line with authority right now of we don't like anyone that's trying to help us. We're taking things into our own hands. And you've got these Call of Duty playing, I think I know what the fuck I'm doing with a gun, youngins out here running around with their buddies to get things for the gram and to get things for TikTok, shooting up people, beating people up in the streets, burning down black businesses too. Y'all were big dumb. It was like, okay, so we don't actually care if you're black, but Black Lives Matter. But if your business can help us make a statement, we still gonna burn it down. If you don't agree with our ideology, you a coon. Okay, sorry. Sorry, you're not really black. Like, your life doesn't really matter. Oh, you like Trump too? Then you definitely don't matter. So really what we meant to say is only a few black lives matter. Yeah, those kids that died in Chicago, we didn't show up for them either, because I mean, it really doesn't fit our agenda. They perpetuated this whole ideology of woe is us, the black people struggle, we deserve better, while at the same time saying fuck you to any black person that made it out. You know what I mean? Like, y'all were upset with people. And when I say y'all, I'm talking to those who support BLM, to those of you that rioted, to all of you that marched with signs like it was going to do something and poached your backs black square thinking that's going to solve all of our problems. Okay? Y'all really showed your true colors, because it was like you were mad if black people weren't struggling. Like myself. If there were people out here that were doing well for themselves, right? That worked their asses off to make something of themselves, to put themselves in a position to do well, like those black business owners that you burned out the businesses of, y'all were big mad at them. It was like, oh, you're not just sitting on your ass doing nothing and saying that you deserve a handout. You're not saying that the white man's keeping you down. You're not saying that the system is unfair to you. No, we just stopped making excuses and found ways to make our dreams happen. That's what we did. But I'm sorry that bothers you. Like, I'm not really that sorry. Like, I'm not sorry at all, actually. But for argument's sake, I'll say it. I'm sorry that that bothers you. And that created a huge division within the Black community, too, guys. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but there was a ton of division in the Black community. All right, so we basically got this race war going on. We got, if God forbid that you speak out against BLM, you're a white supremacist. Trust me, guys, I've been called a white supremacist. For those of you who don't know, I am Black, so I find so much comedy in that whole statement. But you've got a race war basically going on in the community. Y'all also realize what's really funny is a lot of people were saying during that whole thing, oh, well, the KKK is still alive and proud. Trump supports the KKK, all this different bullshit, which he's denounced them God knows how many times, which I find there's so many videos of it, but y'all don't want to talk about that. The KKK is chilling right now, y'all. You're doing their dirty work for them. If you really think that is your biggest issue is the KKK, hunty, they are sitting with a cold one with their feet up. We're killing more of each other than they have probably in the last year. Okay, we killed more Black people than police brutality, which was the whole message y'all had, right? Okay, 9 Black people were killed last year in 2019 due to white cops, all right? And 2 of those, okay, were not resisting arrest. All right, cool. Over 14, some that were children, have been killed in BLM rallies. So what are you guys doing here? What is it that you're really for? Black lives? Because I'm confused. You're killing more people of your own race than the KKK is right now. They're still in there laughing. They're like, are they really? They're sitting around a table like, they know they're killing each other, right? Okay. I thought that was our job. No? Okay. Are we just on vacation? Is this like a 4-month vacation? Okay. We're just going to watch the TV special and let them do it. All right, cool. Cool. Johnny, bring me a beer. Like, that's literally what's happening. And y'all are cool with it. And they didn't even have to ask. They just fed you a fake headline and you freaked the fuck out. All right, so moving forward from this whole racial nonsense, all right, then you get celebrities, all right? This is when the media, and I personally think the left, got really, really smart, okay? Because the technologically savvy, predominantly, are Gen Z. You've got a lot of teenagers right now that want to be social justice warriors and keyboard warriors, and this is when they feel like they're in their prime because everyone's right now in this technological state, and they've got to just give all this power with their hashtags and their fairy emojis and all that kind of shit, okay? So you've got this movement of these Black squares, and everyone wanted to post the Black squares, and celebrities jumped on this like fucking hotcakes, all right? And they said, okay, well, how can we monetize this? How can we monetize this but, like, them not know that we're, like, totally using them to make more money? How are we going to go about that? Ooh, I know. Okay, I'm going to make a statement saying that I stand in solidarity with BLM, and then I'm going to post a post on my Instagram feed that says Black Lives Matter, and I'm going to totally get brand deals. I promise you. And look what fucking happened, man. All right, this all ties into the election. All right, you've got celebrities now taking sides and stating, this is what matters. This is what's important right now. This is why we can't have Orange Man bad in office, because he's a racist, even though he wasn't a racist before he was president, but that's fine. And I just need you all to stand in solidarity. Y'all, again, were made fools of, like, blatant fools of, and you let them do it. All right, LeBron James, for example, sitting out here telling you, oh, well, you know, I understand that you guys need to go out there and you need to say your piece and your voices need to be heard. Y'all, you know where he was tweeting that from? He was tweeting that from his multi-billion dollar home that's likely gated with his security team of 20 plus people of different races, I'm sure, that were keeping him safe. So while he's encouraging you to have your voices heard and go put your lives in danger, he's sitting very, very cushy at home with all the privilege in the world. Okay? Same thing with Kaepernick. Was adopted into a white family preaching about white supremacy. He lived a cushy life. Okay? Oprah. All right? You realize this woman, if you've heard her story, went through some shit to get where she was. She worked her ass off to get there. But instead of using her platform to tell you guys don't got to do this. You can make it just like I did. You can bust your ass. Oh my God, wait a second. I know some of y'all's heads have just exploded. You may have to work for it. Hate to break it to you, but you work your ass off and you might make something of yourself. Y'all realize they made it out. They're part of the 1%. But instead of telling you, you can do something, you are strong, you are capable, they flat out told you, oh, no, no, y'all can't do that. You're never going to make it. You're not going to make it. You need to go out there. You need to scream and throw a tantrum and see if maybe they'll give you a handout instead of encouraging you to be resilient. So again, they made a mockery of you. They let you, you let them sit there and tell you that you are not going to do it because I'm telling you that you can't because of your skin tone, instead of behaving accordingly and just busting your ass. I don't know. That's just me. All right. So the media was very smart with that. They knew that. I mean, Cardi B, look at Cardi B. That woman doesn't know politics, and Joe Biden's pulling her in for interviews. And this woman's sitting there saying, oh, well, I don't want my taxes raised. Well, joke's on her, ain't it? The joke is on you, Cardi. I'm sorry, queen, but that's embarrassing, frankly. I digress. So yes, you've got a lot of these teens. You've got all these kids, right, responding to what the celebrities are saying. Oh my gosh, my idol said this. Oh my gosh, she's a queen. She's done that. Oh my goodness gracious. And you see this on all different platforms, but you see them. This is probably the first time I've seen so much youth involved in politics, guys. And I think that's great, but I also think that's crippling because none of them are really actually researching how this stuff works. They're just following these social media idols that they have. And the Democratic Party was very, very smart with that because it drowns out any actual bit of truth and intelligence trying to be brought up by the other side with some pretty serious words. White supremacy. Oh, you're a racist. Oh, you're a sexist. You know, you're throwing out some pretty hardcore labels right now to drown out the truth that is being presented. Okay? So we go from BLM riots, we go to celebrities, okay? Then you get into the actual election. And guys, you have to look at who they're trying to bring down, which is Trump, right? They don't want Trump anymore. Ask yourselves why that is. Some of you, I'm pretty sure, and I've had these conversations many times, the default that I get is, oh, he's racist. Well, he wasn't racist until he became president. So there was just that. You know, I know plenty of rap artists that had songs about him that thought he was the coolest guy ever. And now all of a sudden, he got into a position of serious influence. Okay, this man separated himself from many people in the social circle because he learned what it is that they were getting involved in. This man does not give a flying fuck about anybody and pertains to what they think about him. He gives a damn about getting his job done. He was voted into office because we did not want a politician. And he isn't a politician, he's a businessman, which frankly I think is what America needed. Now, I did not vote for him, all right? I didn't vote for him the first time around. I did the second time around, but not the first time around. Because I believed the hype. I was a sheep, straight up. But when I went and actually researched what he was doing for this country, okay, I was like, oh, damn, he's doing things for minorities. He's doing things for women. He's doing things for middle-class America. He's doing things for our military. He was on his ship. And nobody wanted that to be seen. Y'all remember the Save Our Children movement that happened? They fed you a few, oh, we got a few victories here just miraculously out of the blue that happens to be when the social media gets loud about it. Oh, we can just do our jobs now. They gave you guys enough to be okay with it. But Trump can out a lot of these elitists involved in all that kind of stuff. That's why they want him out of office, because he can't be controlled. And the only way that you can outshine someone like that is if you have the entire nation against them. And that's what they did. Now, it's ironic because if you guys think about Biden's victory speech, which we shall see how that goes. But you look at his victory speech, right? And he sits there and he says, well, we need to come together as peoples. There's so much hate. Stop being enemies. But his entire fucking campaign was bashing on Trump the whole fucking time. The irony in that. And nobody sees that. All right. You also say, oh, well, we're actively against racism. At the same time that the BLM narrative is happening, you guys are saying Biden 2020, a man that literally during his active campaign this year said, if you're not black if you don't vote for me. Actively telling minorities, black people, how to act, think, and vote based off their skin tone. But y'all say that you're mad about racism. Y'all are talking about a man who wrote a 1994 crime bill that mass incarcerated black people. But y'all are against racism. You're talking about a man that said he did not want schools segregated or desegregated because of the fact that it would be a racial jungle. He wanted that separate. He wanted them segregated. Like, I just don't understand how nobody is having these conversations. Okay, Kamala Harris, guys, they were literally, Kamala Harris and Biden called each other segregationists. And now all of a sudden they're running mates? Why is no one asking these questions? How is the entire nation blind to this level of hypocrisy? And that's what I think we need to be looking at, is how scary that is. Okay, they did not even try to hide it. You see that here with the projected numbers for these states. Okay, Michigan, all of a sudden, 100,000 votes, over 100,000 votes, which are 100% for Biden, just happened to come in. That's statistically impossible. Why is nobody stopping and saying, you know what? This seems wrong. This just seems off. This just seems a little out of line. Okay? But what was the key point in those 100,000 votes? Y'all remember COVID that I talked about? Well, what also did COVID create? We've got to find alternative ways to do things, guys. We got to find different ways to make stuff happen for the sake of everyone's health. Oh, mail-in ballots. You know what? Let's just rewrite the whole way of voting altogether. Let's just throw that all out. Guys, there are two things that stand out to me astronomically with the voting process we had this year. Mail-in ballots have not been on this level a thing, like really ever. You've got mail-in ballots from military, you've got absentee ballots, yeah, but for the most part, not to this level. Mail-in ballots have not been a thing to this level pretty much ever, okay? So that was that whole thing where people say COVID had nothing to do with the election, it did. That was the very first thing they put in motion to be able to say, how can we manipulate this to guarantee that it goes to the left? All right, well, cool. I'ma just manipulate that you guys can't go to the polls. You can riot, because that helps our narrative. You can burn down buildings, because that helps our narrative. You can march in the streets. We don't care. Oh, yes, we are so for you. We stand with you. But hey, it's all about the health now that Election Day has showed up. Interesting how that worked out. Also, something else that I want you guys to analyze is usually during the election season, when the electoral process is happening, a lot of times they'll count through the night until they can reach where they need to be. Okay, this whole, well, we're stopping at 10 o'clock because we're tired. It's getting late. It's getting late, so we're going to stop counting and we're going to start tomorrow. So that way 100,000 ballots can just magically appear. Which ballots are still coming in 4 days, you know, 4 or 5 days after the election. They're still getting them in right now. And the reason why I think that nobody wants to talk about that is because it's like, oh, well, based off a media perspective, nobody wanted Trump, right? No one wanted Trump versus the media because the media didn't cover this man's, you know, rallies or anything of that nature. But to the outside public that doesn't do their research, we don't really want him. So no one's really mad about it besides the true red-blooded patriots that are currently speaking up against it. But I digress again. That being said, guys, you can't be naive to that. There's no way you can be blind to that. Okay, people that are dead, their votes being counted, they're being sloppy. They're not even trying to hide what's going on. But we've spent an entire electoral season showing them that they can manipulate our mindsets and our ways of thinking with little to no effort, little to no evidence. They just got to throw a headline out there. Okay, you've got kids, literal kids right now, 14, 15, 16 years old. I've been seeing this on an astronomical level over the past couple of days. Biden won. He won, guys, he won. Well, no, actually, sweetie, he did not. He is the projected winner as of right now. There are still recounts, lawsuits to happen, FBI investigations to happen. If this doesn't go to court, I would be shocked. And then on top of that, no one seems to also remember that the chief electoral officials go on December 14th to put in, on behalf of their states, their official vote. So it's concerning to me that the American people don't seem to understand the basic election process. And even furthermore, what's concerning is that when Trump decided to stand up and say, stop the voting, okay? Stop the counting. We're counting votes that came in after 8 o'clock on November 3rd. Those aren't legal ballots anymore, okay? Facts. That is, in fact, facts. A lot of people want to just say, oh, ha, 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 boo-hoo, Trump is crying. What you guys aren't saying is he's defending the voice of the American people. If you do not have any concern that your fellow American right now, their voice is being tampered with. And if that does not bother you as an American citizen, that's concerning because that could be your voice in the next election. But if it doesn't benefit you, now you're mad. If it does benefit you, you're completely fine with other people being censored and other people's voice being manipulated. And that's what Trump is currently fighting for. With all of these different recounts and these legal accusations, that's what he's fighting for. And it scares me that people don't see that. This isn't a popularity contest, guys. And I know in a way, yes, you've got to have the American people like you. But this man wasn't fighting to be liked all the time he was in office. He wanted to do what was right by the American people. So, guys, you know, I wanted to come on here and talk to you guys about that and just shed some light on the realities of this situation. And it's the hypocrisy that we have. Oh, we're against racism, but we're fine being racist toward people that don't agree with us. Oh, we don't want to be sexist, but we're also going to tell you that as a woman, you need to vote for Biden because you've got a vagina. Like, I don't give a fuck what's between your legs. That's the other thing. Everyone's so stoked about Kamala Harris being the historically, oh, she's the first woman VP. I don't give if that woman's got titties, a vagina, I don't care. I want to know if she can do her job. And based off of her track record, she can't. So that being said, I don't give a damn. We got to stop doing stuff. We did the same thing with Obama. We want a historically black president. Y'all threw out what mattered, and we ended up with a shit show. And if you don't see that's where we're headed right now, then you're blind. So we need to reclaim what it is to be in America, a country that is for the people, by the people. So stop letting it be run by the media. Stop it. Stop being so divided by social media trends and hashtags and start asking yourself what really matters. Are you a human being? Do you bleed red? Are you a fellow American? Absolutely. So your best interests need to be each other's best interests. You don't have to agree on everything. Not saying that by any means. But at the end of the day, we all live in the same nation. So if that's going to be the case, we need to come together. We need to stop allowing the government to divide us and separate us based off these emotional buttons they've been pushing every 4 years, and we keep falling for it. It's the exact same shit in different packaging. I don't understand why we haven't seen that as a nation yet. So I'm not going to ramble too long, guys. You guys know me. I love to talk. This is why I started the podcast. But think about those things over the next couple of days. As this electoral process continues, we will see how all this legal stuff goes down. And I hope to God, personally, I hope we got Trump. But you know what? Even if we don't have Trump, if Biden ends up winning, as sad as it is for me to say, obviously, I don't want my fellow Americans to hurt. But I think that we are so far gone right now as a nation that we need a harsh fucking lesson. And if that means that that's having Biden in office, then so be it. I think there will be a very big wake-up call if that happens. But that is my views on this electoral process right now. What the fuck, America, is pretty much what sums up that whole rant that I just gave you. And I hope that you guys will tune in next week on Wednesday. We'll have new episodes every single Wednesday. If you guys want to follow me on the other social medias, Instagram is _KateStinson_. TikTok is TheSouthernOreo. And I love you guys. Feel free to follow me on Facebook as well. I love to hear from you guys. Send in those lovely discussion topics you'd love to hear from me that we can cover. I hope you guys have a great night.